Final hour, Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5, 106.3, The Game. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, Michelle Knezovic here with you on this Thursday morning. And as we do every Thursday morning from 8 to 8.30, we go to our 102.5 The Game phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. And welcome in Charles Robinson from Yahoo Sports, brought to you by the NFL Alumni Association. Charles, good morning. Your dedication to this program is appreciated. It is very early where you are right now.
Yes. I was up very late last night, too. I'm not going to lie. I was up late enough to be shocked by the Kevin Durant trade. I
will put it to
you
that way.
You weren't watching Vanderbilt, Tennessee?
What's going on, Charles?
I was in an establishment, and the news became apparent, and we all had a spirited conversation.
You sound like you've been pulling heaters with Vrabel right now.
Maybe so.
Yeah, so it was a fun night. Yeah, Super Bowl has been... It's been interesting so far, so I'm ready for Sunday to get here.
If you see a guy named Jared, just don't walk the other way. Yeah, on Radio Row. Yeah,
just walk the other way.
I'll steer clear. I try to stay away from Radio Row. it's an abyss of former players who are hawking something, and it's a mess. You know what's crazy though? I will say this: this is the first year where, since COVID, like the opening, the Monday night deal, where the puppets are asking questions, everybody's getting marriage proposals, all that craziness. That hasn't happened in the last couple of years. And we're standing there and I'm thinking, like, it felt like it's back. Like, it's back to what this was when we were in Miami. And, it just, everything about it felt like we had turned the clock back a couple of years. And it's the authentic Super Bowl experience once again. So it's great news, I think. Everybody seems really excited.
Yeah, absolutely. So, Charles, what do you make of the hiring of Tim Kelly as Titans offensive coordinator? We talked to you last week about Matt Nagy, maybe things trending towards that direction in terms of just the timing of this, and then all of a sudden Tim Kelly is the guy. What did you make of that move for the Titans?
Well, it makes some sense because there's the familiarity there, and I'll tell you what, my experience with Tim is, is limited, but I do remember that in the Bill O'Brien era with Houston, there was always, especially under Deshaun Watson, it was like, well, when are they going to turn this guy loose? Like, when's he going to really, hit his stride? And Tim, it kind of went through this deal in 2020 where, Tim was calling plays and they got off to a rough start. And I remember Bill O'Brien, taking play calling back. Eventually Bill O'Brien ends up getting ousted. And the moment when you saw Watson kind of got turned loose and they started to run this, spread passing attack. And he just started racking up numbers. It was Kelly that was responsible. I mean, inside the organization it was sort of like, okay, we finally gotten to the point where this guy has blossomed. And, internally they were really, really happy with him. And when David Culley ended up getting the job next year, it was sort of understood like, hey, he's going to be your OC. But then obviously everything went south. They didn't have Deshaun Watson and Watson no longer wanted to play for the organization. That dramatically changed, his future. I think the one struggle that he really had, and I it's hard to really put it on him because of what the roster looked like. He just couldn't run a complimentary, passing attack. A lot of it, a complimentary running attack and just balance out the scheme. But, it was hard to blame him because just what they had to work with, there was, some scheme fit issues with the talent. And, to me, I just thought we never really got a chance to see what he could do other than this small snapshot of how impressive Watson really looked under him. Watson was able – a lot of the offense was put into Watson's hands. It was like, look, we're going to take this. We're going to spread it out. You're going to have these opportunities to – find what you want to do. If someone's not open, don't be afraid, to run and handle the game the way you want to handle it with your skill set. It was impressive. It was very short. Just never got a chance to get a full look at him. So, it's hard for me to say, hey, this is, great. I did see a great snapshot, but it's like, what quarterback is he going to be working with? And, do they have, the athletes to run that complimentary running game, which I would think they do. They're much better positioned than Houston ever was to balance out the scheme with him.
Well, I also wonder, because Davis Mills, I thought, actually looked promising in the last year under Kelly, and then last year
he was viable, Joe.
totally went the wrong way.
Yeah, they did. They thought he was viable. It was. And remember, that was a bad situation. Like, it just wasn't. It was just a really rough. When you looked at the roster and the depth chart, and you knew what the front office was doing, that was like that lone bright spot where it was like, hey, we might actually have a viable quarterback that we scooped up in the middle of, you know, the draft, and he's a rookie, and it's the complete opposite has happened with. I mean, he's just, his career is slammed into a wall. But yeah, that's a really good point. There was a time where he made Davis Mills look like he was the future of the Houston Texans, and they felt really good about it. And then obviously the staff change occurred, and it's been a complete mess ever since.
So officiating in the NFL, first of all, lots of talk. As you're well aware, first of all, interesting that, you know, so Roger Goodell clearly not liking the criticism. As we know, Mike Vrabel sent a very critical email at one point this season.
Did.
I like to see. Yeah.
I brought that
be
up.
Careful,
to
Roger.
I brought it to Roger's attention along with some Aaron Rodgers criticism yesterday. He didn't seem very pleased that I raised that in the press conference.
But so the thing is, like, I know he said, like, you know, it's the best it's ever been or whatever. I mean, my immediate thought was, like, did we have a glory days of officiating? I mean, I thought, we're always going to complain about officiating, right? But I just don't think it's good enough. And I don't for the life of me understand how they would go back from this initially saying, like, we're going to go full-time employees, why they wouldn't pay them a lot more, why they wouldn't make sure it's better. What's your take on the state of officiating?
Well, there's a couple of ways to look at that. Number one, why wouldn't they? Because it's expensive. I mean, it's officials make good money now, but to train, retain, and make it the full-time jobs, like as in, hey, you're an official 24/7, 365 days a year, all you're doing is working on making sure, you know, your craft and your call can stand up to one of the things that Roger brought up, the fact that there are a million cameras now. It's a lot easier for us to see tiny, microscopic things that are happening on the field in the slowest possible motions to see whether or not a call was correct. Roger is right about that, but you know, I just think it's the consistency. And Roger's big thing was, well, look at the aggregate. He said like 42,000, plays. Every single one of those plays, there's a multitude of potential infractions. So you're literally talking about millions of opportunities for these guys to miss something. And occasionally it does happen. It's imperfect. I get that. But it's also the same argument of teams that sit there and go, well, look at our sack numbers. We have great pass rush. And it's like, all right, what about the quality? Like, what about when you face an elite level quarterback? What do your sack numbers look like then? What do your pressure numbers look like? It's about when some of these, you know, calls are happening and raising, you know, questions. The AFC Championship game, it was a big deal because the Chiefs had that do-over on the third down because of a clock mismanagement issues. He said, it was weird to me because he was like, hey, league office wasn't, he indicated the league office wasn't involved in that. That all happened. It wasn't like the league office made a call, an official on the spot, ended up changing that in that moment. But it's not just that play. It's Mike Vrabel, as you said, that email reply, which in October, I mean, like GMs and coaches are like, whoa, like Vrabel straight up like just smoked, you know, the office by making sure everybody was hearing him say, and he was very polite about it, but he was basically saying like, look, the consistency here, we need to drive as much, you know, and I'm paraphrasing, but like work and, I think he was even indicating like, hey, financially, whatever we have to do, the resources have to be put into this to get some consistency. Tony Dungy's been banging on him all year. I mean, Tony's been killing him all over the place. I mean, in multiple levels of the officiating. And then, you know, Rodgers brings up this point, which I thought was fair, which is, hey, we've got some really good high-level officials who were, you know, some people are going to say they were aged out. I don't know if that's necessarily true, but he was talking about some referees that had retired in 2017, 2018, and then gone into, you know, gone to CBS and other networks. And he's like, you know, like Gene Steratore, basically Rodgers, like he should still be calling, you know, games right now. And Rodgers sort of like, well, those were progressions that were made at the end of careers. Maybe, You know, sure, but if the money was there, would they still be, could the league compete and keep them? And not only that, those become individuals who help the middle and lower quality levels of officials if they're still retained. So, you know, I get it. I see what Roger's saying. I see what his point is, but you just can't have, we're literally one really bad Super Bowl play away, like affecting the Super Bowl from people completely losing their minds. And it's about having that quality in the biggest possible games. There are two things I expect. Number one, I think that it's going to be a huge point of emphasis in the Super Bowl. And number two, I'll bet you there are going to be a ton of flags when you look at what this crew is ultimately going to be.
We'll have more with Charles Robinson from Yahoo Sports coming up next. Take your thoughts as well on our text line, 615-737-1025. More with Charles next, but first, Joe Rexroad has a word from our friends at FanDuel Sportsbook.
Yep, speaking of the Super Bowl, obviously a great opportunity for those of you on FanDuel Sportsbook, but you may have your systems on your bet, picking the perfect upset, going through the injury reports for a game, but one thing that you should also include in that system is the responsible gaming tools that are available on FanDuel Sportsbook. These tools help keep your play in check and under control. They include time limits, so you don't unknowingly spend more time in the app than you intended. Wager limits to help prevent you from betting more than you should. And you can even take a timeout, which pauses your account for as long as you may need. FanDuel wants every bettor's experience to be about fun and entertainment, so visit FanDuel.com/playwell and make responsible gaming tools a part of your system. Of course, you must be 21 or older and present in Tennessee. And if you have a gambling problem, call the Tennessee Red Line, 800-889-9789.
Welcome back in. Robbie and Rex Road, 1025-1063 The Game. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, Michelle Knezovic here with you in our conversation with Charles Robinson from Yahoo Sports, brought to you by the NFL Alumni Association. We welcome Charles back in to the program. And Charles, a two-part question here for you. Number one, when the Super Bowl is over, do you plan on taking any sort of retreat, maybe, let's say, a darkness retreat for 4 days? And if so, what do you think that's going to be like? What do you think the decision for Aaron Rodgers looks like once he's done with his four-day darkness retreat?
Like, hey, man, do you want $60 million next year? Like, hang on, let me turn off the lights for a little bit.
See, I got to figure this out, man.
Yeah, like, it's not really. That's what you need to. Like, it's not a hard question, man. Like, I don't know, man. It just gets better. You understand what's going on. He's a different cat. It's I have been exposed to so many things I didn't know about because of Aaron Rodgers.
Good point.
There's this ayahuasca, like all these. Yeah, it's over the last couple certain haircuts I didn't know you could actually form onto a human being's head. I mean, like the guy is just the gift that keeps on giving. The Packers has got to be sitting here going, like, really? Like, this is what? Just let us know by the combine. They're like, you know, because we're going to need to know who we need to tamper with at that point if you're not going to be here. So, who knows with this? I could tell you the Jets, the Raiders, you know, some of these other teams that are kind of waiting for him to be that quarterback domino that falls next would really wish this was moving along a little more quickly than it is right now. But, I guess sometimes you got to hallucinate to figure out if you want $60 million to remain. And I don't – you know what the thing is, too? When Brady – and I really thought there was some I think there's some traction to this. When Brady retired, some people were like, he's not going to want to go into the hall with you know, Brady. I actually, sometimes I don't put a lot of stock into that, but this time I'm kind of like, yeah, wonder if maybe that there's some reality to that, because, you know, that day, that class comes and everybody's going to be the second banana to Brady in that class. It's just, you know, everybody's going to get their shine, but it won't be, it's going to be different just because of it being Tom. And I think he's coming back. The Jets definitely want him. I think the Raiders definitely would want to be in on him. It's just, you know, you got to go through whatever his process ultimately is. And I'll say this, Jordan Love, that fifth year option is getting picked up. So this is it. like the Packers are going to, if he stays, he'll know in May because they're picking up that fifth-year option, and Jordan Love's going to get $20-plus million in 2024, and they're not paying him that to not play. So even if he goes back to the Packers or whatever, he's out after 2023 because they're not sitting Jordan Love through the fifth-year option.
Well, you mentioned Jets and Raiders. You did not mention Titans, Charles. I mean, come on, we're playing fantasy football here in Nashville.
I mean, look, I'm telling you from a fit, like knowing him, knowing, you know, who he is, that kind of guy, I think the Titans are a pretty good fit. I do. I think if Davante Adams wasn't in Vegas, I probably wouldn't even think about realistically him being in Las Vegas. The Jets is more of a fit of, I mean, ownership definitely would like to have him come in. And there really is a huge need just in terms of they have a team where they could turn the key with Aaron Rodgers and they think they have their Super Bowl window right now. They think it exists right now. And I also think they do buy into this idea that maybe Zach Wilson could learn something seeing Rodgers operate. And they really do not want to just give up completely on Zach Wilson. But in terms of like a city fit, sort of a culture fit, you know, who he is, what he brings to the table, his interests off the field, the Titans make a ton of sense to me. And I think he and Vrabel are, you know, in a lot of ways, peas in a pod in terms of their football mentality. Very, very good fit. So that's my bad. I would not rule them out that to me, if it was like, hey, they emerge as that team, I wouldn't have any problem with that. I think it would be a good pickup for them.
Well, speaking of Packers and Titans, Chad Brinker, reportedly assistant GM here, coming in here with Rand Carthon. What do you – I mean, I know that he's had a good reputation in the league. I know, actually, if people go back to his playing career, I mean, he had, like, the huge, like, thing in his brain and everything going along. I mean, he's got a heck of a story. But what do you think about him? You know, Albert Breer kind of tweeted that it's sort of the Cleveland model, or it's kind of going to be set up like the Cleveland model of front office. You know, what do you think about him, and what do you think about that?
Yeah, I mean – that's interesting. I would like to know what Albert's, you know, idea of the Cleveland model is. You know, I think the Cleveland model, what's interesting is when you look at what Andrew Berry was very much and has been very much into, you know, look, analytics, even though they don't say it a lot. You know, he's it's a very analytics driven internal culture. They're big into grooming guys who bring different things to the table. You know, Kwesi Adofo-Mensah, when you first, even though he was with the 49ers, when you first heard, like, hey, this is a potential GM, it was when he went into the Cleveland franchise, and he had a very similar background to Andrew Berry. And, you know, they both had, like, Wall Street backgrounds. And you know, so I'm wondering if that's kind of what Albert's, you know, pointing at. I can't sit here and tell you exactly what Rand Carthon, what that's going to look like in the long run in terms of the front office, because just the track record isn't there in terms of him being out in front, you know, trying to make decisions to support a coach consistently. It takes time to kind of, like, it was like when Brad Holmes, this is a good example, when Brad Holmes went into Detroit, you called around and you're like, what, you know, tell me what this is going to look like. And you would hear certain, what his strengths and weaknesses were like, but no one had any idea that he was going to be able to pull off the Jared Goff, Matt Stafford trade in a way that it ultimately worked out for Detroit. You know, a year later, 2 years later, he saw Goff as an asset when no one else did. And you started to learn some of the things that Holmes brought to the table. By the way, everybody he works with in the building, because it was sort of looked at like, man, it's messy. It seems like there are a lot of voices. You know, how's Holmes going to be able to navigate that? And I think he's done a really good job. I don't know, you know, with Rand. I wish I could sit here and tell you this is exactly what things are going to look like. I just want to understand what the coach GM dynamic looks like in terms of the decisions, how the roster gets shaped, who has the draft, you know, the draft, whose hands is the draft in? Whose hands are the 53 in? that's all stuff that I think is going to play out in the next season.
Charles, last thing for you here. Obviously, you're out live at the Super Bowl. What do you make of the matchup? What's the most intriguing part of this game to you, and who do you got coming up on Sunday?
A lot of people are on the Eagles, man. They really – and I get it. The defense is amazing. The only thing that bothers me about the Eagles and makes me slightly reticent to jump on that bandwagon the way a lot of people are is they just haven't had a playoff challenge. And having watched them against the 49ers, once the 49ers lost Purdy, everything changed. It kind of flushed the entire game. People are going to say, well, it was tied. Josh Johnson was in there. It wasn't until Johnson went out. There was slippage that was already happening as soon as he went in the game. And it just completely changed the tone of competition for the Eagles. So people are going to box score scout it. They're going to look at it and, you know, they're going to say, hey, like, you know, they did knock Purdy out. They knocked Josh Johnson out, and that's how they achieve that. But you didn't get a chance to really understand, especially given the shoulder issue with Hurts, what it would look like if he was pressed to throw outside the numbers downfield consistently. He didn't have to do it late. But I don't really know. I don't think he's healthy. It's clear he's not healthy. I don't know what that's going to look like if he's in a game where, you know, they're going to have to make that offense a little more vertical than they had to the last couple of games. And I'm a big buyer into Mahomes. I know he's not healthy either. I know obviously there's the ankle issue, but I still think people are underselling the experience of the Chiefs. They're underselling the experience of Andy Reid and his coaching staff. I think it's going to be a great game. I'm still leaning Chiefs just because of that experience level and I think Mahomes, this is just another moment in Mahomes' career that we're going to look back on and it's going to shape the conversation. I feel like we're headed toward the LeBron, Kobe, MJ, you know, Michael Jordan conversation with Mahomes, Tom Brady, and whatever third quarterback you ultimately want to throw in there. And this is going to be part of it for Mahomes.
Yep. I like it. That could be the case. Charles Robinson from Yahoo Sports with us here on Robbie and Rex Road. Joins us every Thursday morning from 8 to 8:30. Charles, great stuff as always. Really appreciate you taking time to be with us and waking up a little early, and we'll talk to you next week.
I appreciate it. Thanks for putting up with my raspy voice today. I'll talk to you guys next week.
I enjoyed it. If you see Vrabel out there, tell him to switch to menthol ultralights.
If I see Vrabel out here, it's probably a person that I need to stay away from.
He is bigger than you.
Thanks, Charles. Appreciate you. Charles Robinson from Yahoo Sports, our guest on Robbie and Rex Road. We'll take your thoughts, 615-737-1025. Got a lot to react to with Charles coming up next. Looking forward to that. Also got some wristbands to give away. A 4-pack of wristbands to the 50th Annual National Wild Turkey Federation Convention at Opryland coming up on Wednesday, February 16th through Friday, February the 18th. Be caller number 5, 615-737-1025, 615-737-1025. Caller number 5 will win a 4-pack of wristbands to the 50th Annual National Wild Turkey Federation Convention coming up next week at Opryland. 615-737-1025. This is Robbie and Rex Road, 1025-1063, the game. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road, 1025-1063, the game. We are streaming live on Twitch, Twitter, YouTube, and Facebook. Our video streaming brought to you by Superbook. We are live from our 1025 The Game studio, brought to you by Hiller Plumbing, Heating, Cooling, and Electrical. Thanks to Charles Robinson from Yahoo Sports for joining us in the last segment. Make sure you join us here at 1025-1063 The Game this Saturday at 3rd and Home, located at 919 3rd Avenue North in Germantown for a Preds watch party as the Preds take on the Philadelphia Flyers at 11:30. Come watch the game, get some Preds swag, and also be entered to win tickets to an upcoming Preds home game as well. 3rd and Home, a great spot out there in Germantown, so looking forward to all that coming up on Saturday. Lots to get into on the Charles Robinson front from the last segment. And, Joe, some interesting stuff there from Charles. Did not rule the Titans out of possibly being a good fit for Aaron Rodgers.
He didn't think of him at first.
He didn't think of him at first. But thanks to your guidance, there was a revisiting of that after that.
But, you know, may have been a bit cloudy there. I think it's got to be. I know there are people who – you mention Aaron Rodgers right now, or you previously mentioned Tom Brady. It's like, can we please stop? But, I mean, that's this league now. I mean, look around. Stuff like this does happen. And I think the Titans certainly fall into, especially if that if the NFC rule is going to be followed, as the Packers have said, correct?
We'll see. I don't mean, like that.
Has that actually been said?
They have not said that, but that has been reported.
That's been reported, so they've said it back channel.
Back channel. So,
if that's the case, I think the Titans have to be considered top three. If you're top three, that means you're on the medal stand.
That's right.
Now, I think the Titans get the bronze here, personally, and that Ryan Tannehill's an 86% chance of being the starting quarterback next year. But that doesn't stop us from talking about this. We're playing fantasy football, folks. It's February.
I'll go 77.
You're at 77 on Tannehill?
77%.
Okay.
I'm leaving open the Rodgers and the moving up to go get a quarterback.
Yeah, well, that's the thing. I mean, most of the my remaining 14% is the move up scenario. I mean, like Rodgers, I seriously probably have it at like
it's not high.
I mean, I guess I'll put two. I guess I'll put 2% on it. 14% on rookie, move up, draft your guy, and then 86 on Tannehill. There's the math.
I said 90 the other day.
90.
Yeah.
Okay. That's I mean, I'm you know, it went up to me. Not that Tim Kelly is like, oh, I must have Ryan Tannehill as my quarterback, but just the same general approach, I think, is more likely now. And I know some people don't like that, but it doesn't have to be bad. You have to be able to block and get open.
Ben, on the text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, says, Mahomes is 1,000% better than Brady ever was, but now he has to get the resume to at least be comparable. Otherwise, he'll fall short like others have. This from Ben.
This is not my burner, by the way. Ben is not my burner. Well, okay,
I don't know about 1,000%, but I hear what he's saying.
I mean, there are. I mean, I think there are a few quarterbacks in the league who you could argue like are like, well, more talented than Brady, right? But when you deliver the ball accurately and make the huge throws he has, like the I think people make a little bit too much about the rings as a like when we're comparing players, because Dan Marino's one of the greatest quarterbacks ever, period, stop, full stop, no rings.
Right.
Charles Barkley's one of the greatest NBA players, period, no rings, you know? I mean, we make a little – like that's clearly now he's the greatest quarterback, well beyond everybody he's well beyond in rings.
It's part of the it's part of the equation.
Yeah.
It's not the whole thing.
Yeah,
like you people, can't, sometimes people make it out to be.
Thank you. You said it much better than I did in one sentence.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Well, look, Mahomes, I do. I mean, we've talked about this. Five consecutive AFC title game appearances. This is his third trip to the Super Bowl. If he wins, it's his second Super Bowl title, and he's 27. Like, how much more can he do? Like, I think quite a bit more as they look ahead here.
But see, the funny thing is, and this is sports, this is a reality, this is where we are. It's like all of a sudden with college basketball, it's like now everybody can be mad at Rick Barnes now. You don't have time to be happy for Jerry Stackhouse. Be mad at Rick Barnes. If Mahomes loses Sunday, Mahomes got that one title and he can't win the big one.
Yeah.
Two straight. When's he going to get back? Is he ever going to win another ring? I mean, you know, I think he probably will. But That's will be discussed.
It will be discussed.
I mean,
sure.
You know, on some of the debate shows, it will be discussed.
No question. And look, also, when you factor in, like, it doesn't take a football genius to watch Mahomes play and some of the throws that he makes and some of the plays that he makes that are just like schoolyard plays out there where you're just like, man, that guy's unbelievable. So that goes back to what you were talking about. Like, he can do things that Tom Brady could never do, right? Just with some of the plays that he makes. Now, having said that, I would also say that about Rodgers. I think to some degree I would say that about Manning with some of the things that he could do. Like Brady, it's not like Brady is like the most gifted quarterback that we've ever seen. Right. But he's gifted enough, and there's just the mentality that he had and his ability to perform well in big-time moments. Like that's why Brady is who he is.
Exactly. Yeah. So, now, of course, Mike Francesa. Mike Francesa.
Yeah.
Mike Francesa.
There you
yeah.
go.
What did he say? Not the best regular season quarterback, not the best Super Bowl quarterback.
Yeah.
So what is he really?
I mean.
Gotta love it.
Is he really not the best Super Bowl quarterback? I mean, what are we talking about?
Yeah, who did he say was?
Montana.
Yeah. I mean, Brady's better. I'm trying to think. Did Montana, I guess Montana never lost one.
Right. He was 4-0.
So that's like the LeBron Jordan thing, right? Because Brady has, but yeah.
I always love that discussion though too, and not
you
to
get there more often.
Yeah, like right. Not to get into like a LeBron Jordan thing, but it's like You also realize that means that just because he didn't lose in the Super Bowl, he did lose before getting to the Super Bowl at other points in his career.
Right, exactly.
Like it's not like he just, oh, no blemish whatsoever.
Right, yeah.
I know he lost in the divisional round, but who cares? It wasn't the Super Bowl.
Yeah, so okay. It doesn't count. Yeah. Oh, I mean, like people are stunned. People who like weren't there at the time, I swear, are stunned to hear that Jordan never lost a game. You know? It's like, no, actually, he did a lot of losing. Yeah, he actually missed a lot of shots like late in games. You know, he wasn't. Yeah, we turn these people into mythical creatures.
I got a texture that says, Mahomes shouldn't even be in the conversation with Brady as the GOAT already. If he's still doing this when he's 50 years old, then maybe we can talk.
Well, I don't think he has to do that, but I kind of agree. Right now he's on the course. I think he's that good.
Yeah.
And so he's got a great partnership. He's got a great situation. So, but I kind of agree. It's like, let's let it play out a little bit. Let's see if he gets another ring. And he may well do it. I'm kind of on the Eagles. Well, like Charles made me feel bad about it, but I'm.
Yeah, me too. But part of the being great, yes, it's the talent. Yes, it's everything that we know Mahomes can do. But, like, is it part of being great also longevity, like displaying greatness over a long period of time? Like, that's how you, for the most part, is how you build a Hall of Fame career. Like, now, I also agree with what we talked about earlier. I think Mahomes might retire. If he could retire tomorrow, could be a Hall of Famer, just based on what we've seen already. But I'm just saying.
Terrell Davis is a Hall of Famer.
Exactly.
Right? And, yeah.
I'm just saying, though, like, part of greatness is being able to do something for a sustained period of time. And Mahomes has done great so far, but can he do it for another 10 years?
Yeah.
I think he can, but we'll see.
But, like, yeah. But, right. I mean, To have the Brady comparison, you have to have longevity too. You have to. Now, again, Hall of Fame, you can have incredible success in a short period of time and get there that way too. But yeah, to be in that discussion, yeah, that's got to be a whole bunch more years of this, which I think is very possible.
Yep, I thought Charles' thoughts on Tim Kelly was interesting, I do remember hearing some of that from Texans fans, like, well, they can't run the ball. It's like, okay, well, is that the offensive coordinator? Or is that because you don't have any backs and an offensive line that can't run block? Like, running the ball should be the least of the problems here for Tim Kelly when it comes to the Titans.
Well, I think the point that Charles made about Kelly is worth keeping in mind, because what did he do? He did what you have to do.
Right.
Which is, who do you have? And this is what we're going to do around who we have. And look, I mean, I think that's true. Like, okay, so last year, Todd Downing. I feel like I've become Todd Downing's biggest defender all of a sudden, and I'm not trying to be, but if you're Todd Downing looking at that group, I mean, he could have done his job a lot better, but don't you have to think, okay, well, Derek, we're going kind of as far as Derek takes us?
Yeah.
I mean, especially once you lose Lawan, you know? So if they fix certain things, I think the offense could look quite a bit different next year. One question with that is, if it is going to look a lot different, does that mean that they are is there a need for another back that gets more work, that they, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Beyond just a third down back?
Well, you did just draft Son Haskins. What is he? I mean, I don't know. Like, I there were some plays, you know, he found a role in special teams. There was a couple runs he had in the Dallas game. We're like, okay, cool. But I don't have any opinion on Son Haskins in terms of what we learned about him as a runner this year.
I mean, I've heard people talking about them, you know, drafting one of these backs again, which, again, that would be basically another makeup draft pick, which they've had a few lately.
Yeah.
I don't really like that idea. I actually like the idea of re-signing Dontrell Hilliard. I thought he was having a heck of a year.
Hassan Haskins was a makeup draft pick because you drafted Darrington Evans in the third round 2 years prior.
That's a fair point.
So, I mean, how long are you going to – I know it's a different regime now, but how long are you going to keep – going to that well? I don't know. 615-737-1025. It is Love Week here on 102.5, 106.3 The Game, brought to you by A Moments Peace Day Salon and Day Spa in Cool Springs. You have a chance to win a $100 gift card to A Moments Peace Day Salon and Day Spa in Cool Springs and be qualified for a chance to win a $1,000 Genesis Diamonds gift card as well. Tell us your favorite thing about your significant other on the text line.
Aww.
Driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. This is a Rex Road idea. I can't take credit for it. Your favorite
I'm a romantic.
Thing about your significant other on our text line. Remember, text it in, 615-737-1025. Michelle Knezovic is the judge, And if she deems your selection to be worthy, you will win a $100 gift card to a Moments Peace Day Salon and Day Spa in Cool Springs. We'll get to that coming up next. Get your thoughts on the Titans as well. But first, Joe Rexroad has a word from our friends at FanDuel Sportsbook.
My favorite thing is that Katie uses FanDuel Sportsbook. No, I'm just kidding, Katie. But that is a good trait. And FanDuel has a perfect way for everyone to get in on the Super Bowl 57 action with a no-sweat same-game parlay. That means everyone gets bonus bets back. If your Super Bowl same-game parlay doesn't hit, you can be new to FanDuel or have an account. Doesn't matter. Now, of course, same-game parlay means you can combine different bets for a chance at a bigger payday. I'm going to stick with Eagles, Jalen Hurts over on the rushing yards, Patrick Mahomes over on the passing yards. But, hey, do whatever you want to do. You can build your own. You can also bet a pre-made one for you in America's number one sportsbook. If you're new, sign up with promo code Joe102 when you download the app. Either way, you get bonus bets back. If you're no sweat, same game probably doesn't hit. Make every moment more with FanDuel, official sportsbook partner of the NFL. And you must be 21 or older and present in Tennessee. 3+ legs, minimum dollar bet required. Refund issued is non-withdrawable bonus bets. Expire 7 days after receipt. Max bonus $5, less otherwise specified. Restrictions apply. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Gambling problem? Call the Tennessee Red Line, 800-889-9789.
Make sure you tune in later today for Stillman & Company live from Radio Row, brought to you by Social Furniture on Charlotte Avenue in the Richland Creek Shopping Center. Pay no money down and no interest for 1 year right now during their tax refund sale. Looking forward to Jared a little bit later today out in Arizona live from the Super Bowl. 615-737-1025, 615-737-1025.
I mean, there is just some, I mean, heartfelt. Well, how are you going to pick a winner? There are some heartfelt messages about people.
They're tugging at the heartstrings this morning. I'm just surprised, you know, Ryan from Chicago didn't text in. That's just majorly messed up right now, guys.
Yeah, he should text in that she is willing to sit through horrific Chicago Bears games. I mean, that alone, you know, should be a text thread.
But there were so many good ones, but I did have to choose one winner, and it is Justin from Greenbrier. And Justin said his favorite thing about his wife is her sense of humor. She doesn't do funny things all the time, but when she does, it makes me laugh out loud and makes me just love her so much more. I feel like everybody has their own sense of humor, like when the doors are closed, like in your own home. And I just really like that answer. But there were so many great ones.
Yeah, I don't know if I agree with your choice. But, I mean, it's a good answer. But, you know, you're the one making the choices.
She's the judge.
There was one in here about it was like a really heartfelt story, but it's fine. At least let me give the shout-out on that one. Who is it? Is there a name? Joe Reinhardt from Pleasant View. Can I read this?
Knock yourself out. I don't know what it is.
I lost my dad and my best friend almost 40 years within a month of each other 2 years ago. Hardest experience I've ever been through in my life. My amazing, wonderful, loving woman helped me through every day. Through all the breakdowns, long sleep at nights, all the tears, she was my rock. Thank God every single day he placed her love into my life. That's why she's amazing. Thank you. But hey, funny jokes are cool too, Michelle.
I'm just messing
with you. I'm glad we got a shout out for you to you there, Joe.
Absolutely.
I'm just messing with you, Michelle.
You can buy him a $100 gift card.
Also, the Cats lost. Sorry, too.
So did the Walls.
It's Vandy Joe. He didn't care.
Vandy Joe's happy. GB Joe's
sad. You've switched.
Yeah, GB Joe's mad. Vandy Joe's happy.
I will just say, great stuff on the text line today with Love Week. A little bit of a different tone than we had on the text line yesterday.
So do we have to do the thing you like least tomorrow?
I don't know. What's that?
Well, you're asking me?
Oh.
No, the thing you like least about your significant other.
No. Okay, I thought you were specifically referring to me and the thing that I like the least.
Yeah, you know what I'm saying?
It's like, what is that? Yeah, I know what you're saying now.
That will be funny. What gets under your nerves?
What is the thing that bothers you the most about your significant other?
We're all about real life here.
Yeah, we'll do that tomorrow.
Honest conversations.
I like it. We'll do that tomorrow.
Nice.
Looking forward to that.
So everybody get ready.
Everybody get your answers prepared. So we'll see what happens on that front. We've covered a lot of ground on the show today. Big win for Vanderbilt against Tennessee. Last night, they get the buzzer beater, Tyron Lawrence, and a huge win for Jerry Stackhouse. We had John Hines on the show earlier. If you missed that, you can check it out on Apple or Spotify or wherever you get your podcast. And, of course, our weekly interview with Charles Robinson as well. Joe, your final thoughts as I bring it up for the fourth time today. The win for Vanderbilt last night and what this means, not only the game itself, but what I'm really more interested in is the conversation around Jerry Stackhouse and what you think this does for him moving forward.
Well, does it for a Vanderbilt fan who's out on Stackhouse, like let's say 1 week ago, you know, 1 week ago they were going to the Ole Miss game. They had just come off 101-44 at Alabama. He just sat one of his best players. Everybody's wondering what the heck's going on. Maybe some people were like, "I'm out," and then now are you back in? I mean, I think if you're out on Stackhouse, maybe you're not back in, but you have to. I just feel like the objective view of Stackhouse, I think there were some things about him early that people were throwing around that I think have been kind of demonstrated as untrue. You know, the whole doesn't want to go out and recruit, just wants to be in the NBA, and this is just stepping. So, I mean, he wants to do this job. He's working hard at this job, and he's done good things in this job. Ultimately, you're judged on results, you know? So, I mean, there's still the question of, like, whether he can get to that point that you need to have this program. But, like, if you watch just that game, the way they fought, the stuff they ran, the fact that two games in this season they have busted that top defense in the country like no other team has. And even just the last play, it was still mostly Ezra Magnon making a great decision. But the play has Tyron Lawrence set up in the corner to hit a winning shot, and it was a beautiful play to watch unfold. And this happens a lot with them. They run great stuff. Their players get better. Got to win more. But I think, you know, someone else texted me, you know, his celebration last night, the emotion he showed last night, the press conference after the game and things. I mean, these are, you know, I feel like these are things that help endear you to a fan base. And I think in some cases he hasn't helped himself with just sort of, you know, maybe not showing a lot of personality or, you know, kind of being defensive as people have criticized him. I think it's been unfair from the start in some cases, but you also have to deal with that crap as a pro or a major college coach. You know, this has been a little bit of like learning on the job situation from him, but I don't know. If you're a Vanderbilt fan who's watched closely, I don't know how you could look at this and say there's no chance for him to have a good program at Vanderbilt.
Well, Joe, quickly as we wrap up here, concern level at this point with Tennessee, who quite frankly over the past week has looked like not a very good basketball team.
This is the time to happen. Get your crap together. Every team goes through these struggles. I actually thought last night they got the role players. Tyreek Key came back as a role player. Kamwa made some big plays. They got some big shots late from Vaveskevi after he had been struggling. They're kind of disjointed right now. And obviously, I mean, look, if Julian Phillips just dunks the ball last night, they're probably having a different discussion today. So Vanderbilt got close again. No, but I'm just saying, like, you know, from the Tennessee perspective, right? Like, it's not disastrous. That might cost them a number one seed, which is too bad. But I still think they're going to be a two in Greensboro. They have a chance to. They are absolutely good enough to be a Final Four team. If you're a Vols fan like you, who says I don't think they will be, I don't trust them. I have nothing to argue. Again, expect the worst and hope for the best. They're good enough. I would still rather see them, as a Tennessee fan, struggling now and get their crap together in the next month, you know, than being playing their absolute best right now.
Got Missouri coming up next, and then a showdown with Alabama in Knoxville next week. So that one could be a doozy.
And please, Vols fans, don't be mad at Rick Barnes because he was classy and went and found Jerry Stackhouse and hugged him. That's a cool thing. You should like your coach more for that.
That's going to do it for us today on Robbie and Rex Road. Chase and Michelle up next. This is 102.5, 106.3, The Game.